You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
Tuesday, 25 June. Today in 1950, the Korean War started. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb Global Headquarters in Johannesburg, South Africa. On the show today, Chantal Marx. She, of course, Head of Research, FNB Wealth and Investments. PPC results back into profit. NASPAS doubles, but it's all Tencent. Stephen Joffe from Invicta. Solid set of results, but tough trading conditions. And then we're chatting with George Colby. He's Head Life Insurance Marketing Momentum. Retail Life Insurance 2023 claim statistics. I'm keen to see, is the pandemic really all behind us? The show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. Morning headlines from MoneyWeb. Shine has confidentially filed for London IPO, according to Reuters, £50 billion or $63 billion valuation. Business Day, Standard Bank sees two repo cut rates this year, two decreases by the end of the year, but only a quarter of a percent each. It'll take prime to 11 and a quarter. Morning markets, the US was red, S&P down a third of a percent, NASDAQ down 1.2%, that as NVIDIA fell 6.7%. Over in the East, it's all green, Sydney half a percent higher, as is Tokyo, Hong Kong a quarter of a percent, and Tencent 0.75%. Commodities, also green, gold, 2,341, Brent, 85.94, platinum, 1,017, and palladium on a stormer, $986 an ounce. Rand, 18.11, Bitcoin, 61,300, top 40, a red open, 60 points, or a little under 0.1% down.
MoneyWeb Now, on the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting now with Chantal Marx, Head of Research, FNB Wealth and Investments. Chantal, appreciate the early morning time. PPC, I mean, it's not really a turnaround story, but it is back into profit, but it is still struggling. And I mean, one of the first lines in their sense announcement yesterday of results basically says, you know what, with an economy that's not doing very much, there's not a heck of a lot that they can really do to manage the growth environment.
Yes, and as a result, they've decided to close a few of their operations, milling plants, as well as some of their swing kilns. And I think that is also a message to authorities in South Africa, because this company has been complaining about cheap imports for years.
Yeah.
It is very difficult to compete when you are getting cheap cement imports from the East. And it's really now an issue for them where they have to start thinking about how do they optimize their operations so that they actually can remain in business longer term. They have to start thinking about short-term profitability and maintaining cash flows, because they can't just keep stuff open and hope the volumes return.
Yeah, I take your point. And it is, I mean, you know, we see it in the chicken industry as well. I mean, different, but it's those imports which can have fairly significant impacts and can quite hurt. Is this a stock that if the whole, you know, the cabinet comes and everyone loves it and the SA Inc. story is all positive, notwithstanding the challenges, if we can start getting some GDP growth into the economy, is this one to look at?
Absolutely. Super highly geared towards GDP growth, super highly geared towards an infrastructure rollout that is far behind actually taking place. So this is one of the companies that I would have on my watch list for when we start seeing kind of shovel-ready projects, massive shovel-ready projects being rolled out. And then I think it's also, it will do very well if consumer confidence improves and we can see people actually starting to feel like they want to build stuff again. I mean, it's not only infrastructure, it's not only buildings in the CBD. It is houses. It is business extensions. All of these things will benefit PPC. I think one of the other things that we need to consider, that authorities need to consider, is perhaps making up a building materials master plan as well, because two of those master plans, the sugar master plan and the poultry master plan, has resulted in protectionism measures being put in place that has really helped the industry. And I'm thinking about it now because I've just been looking at RCL Foods over the last few weeks. And it's really, really helped companies like Rainbow and Astral and Salati Sugar. And I think that they could benefit from that kind of intervention as well.
I like that. I like that. A master plan. Absolutely. Quick one on NASPAS. Yes, they doubled their profit, but it seemed to mostly have been sales of 10 cent shares. Is that fair? I mean, it still is a 10 cent story almost exclusively.
So I do think that obviously it had a big impact, but I think the bigger story is in the details. Mm-hmm. So they've managed to turn a profit in their e-commerce business well before they expected to. So that is on the back of a massive improvement in classifieds, as well as their food delivery business doing very well. And a few years ago, we were looking at food delivery and we were thinking, how does anyone make a profit from food delivery? But I think that they're getting it right. A lot of players in the industry are getting it right. And even though it's a low volume game, it's small transaction size game, it's a big volume game. And I think that it will continue to do quite well for them. So I took a lot of encouragement out of this, because you want to have a scenario where it's no longer just a 10 cent story. And I think we're slowly moving towards that.
Yeah, I take your point. And I agree. I didn't understand how they make money on food, but it turns out you can. You deliver a lot of it at small margins. We'll leave it there. Chantal Marks, Head of Research, FNB Wealth and Investments. Appreciate the early morning. And our poll today on Twitter and LinkedIn is around the NASPAS. Was it just 10 cent? As Chantal said, if you dig in, there actually is some better positive signs. Have your vote, have your say, LinkedIn and Twitter.
Hear that? Nothing. Your money can do more when it blocks out the noise, as hard as it is these days. When you invest in the Stanley Balanced Cautious Fund, we manage the risks, so that you can see stable inflation-beating returns through market cycles. Invest with more certainty at stanlib.com/more. Stanlib is an authorized financial services provider and a registered manager.
MoneyWeb now, on the money.
I'm chatting with Stephen Joffe, CEO of Invicta. Results for the year end March saw revenue up 7%, sustainable HEPS up 5%, cash from operations up 28%, and a 5% increase in dividend. NAV is up 13% at 52.50. Stephen, appreciate the time today. All segments are growing revenue, but it is tough trading conditions out there, particularly in South Africa, in which we sit in practically a zero growth environment. And of course, during the period under reporting, fairly consistent load shedding.
Yeah, it was a very, very tough 12 months in South Africa. And as you say, absolutely correctly, mining production down, manufacturing output down. So it was really, really a tough time to operate in industrial business in these sectors. The really good thing is that load shedding for the last 90 days has been gone.
Yeah.
So we are very encouraged by that, to be honest.
And how much, I've asked you this before, that helps you, but more than anything, it helps your customers.
Absolutely. I mean, our direct cost, and you know, across a lot of businesses, but it's in excess of R1 million a month that we spend on diesel. Yep. But more importantly, to your point, a lot of our customers' plants aren't able to run. And that impacts us because we need plants to run and parts to wear that we can send replacement parts in.
Yeah, and it's also, and I said up front there, I mean, what we need is a growing economy. I mean, mining is cyclical. I mean, that we kind of understand. But our economy kind of gets crushed by the lack of growth that's been happening. You know, bumbling along at, let's be generous and call it 1%, is really stymieing your customers and therefore ultimately you.
Yeah, absolutely. But you know, the interesting thing about South Africa's rich resources is that there's always some mineral that's doing well.
Yeah, good point.
You know, even if you had a situation where our trains were working optimally and our ports were working, I think people could have taken advantage of different resource booms that took place over the last few years. And I'm so hopeful that now this national unity government can just focus on doing the basics right and allow the entrepreneurs in those spaces to take advantage of the different booms that will come over the next few years.
Yeah, when I speak to mining experts, they say we have so many minerals, to your point, there's always a couple of them that are going to be booming. The question is, can we get them out of ground and to market? Your two big kickers, however, was, I mean, Capital Equipment, Earthmoving, they both reported really strong increases and they had good periods under review.
Our Capital Equipment business in the construction sectors, which is really moving sands. That's mining and construction. So we represent Doosan and Hyundai. And they're both Korean brands. They've opened up facilities in Hyundai in India. So they brought down the price point of the machine, still under the OE label and quality, at a price point that's so much more affordable. And it's made a tremendous difference to our sales in the market. And that is maybe the golden ticket, having quality OE products manufactured in the most cost-conscious environments. And that's done really, really well.
Yeah, I take your point on that. You've got a auto agri operations, local, but also UK, Poland, and Ukraine. How's the European part of that business been doing? I mean, Ukraine, I imagine, is tough. UK, I'm not sure. And from the outside, it looks tough, but maybe not quite so bad.
It's quite a funny thing in what you just said, because from a pure budget point, and it's of a much lower base, but sure. Ukraine was probably our best performing business in that area. They really did well. They're resilient. And interestingly enough, the management team there is completely lady-led because all the gents have to go and serve in the army. So it's an interesting team, and they've done incredibly well. Very proud of what they've achieved this year.
Yeah.
Auto Agri in Europe has done really well. Poland been strong. Mm-hmm. And we're actually looking at opening up a new warehouse in Spain.
Okay. How much of your revenue is beyond the borders of South Africa these days?
I don't measure it in terms of revenue because Kianan is a big component of that.
Yes.
Don't take it into account in revenue. So in terms of net profit, it's over 50%. Somewhere between, I would say, 55 and 60% of our net profit today is derived from overseas.
That is totally chunky. And at the same time, you also managed, I mean, I said up front, a tough operating environment. You did manage to get a slight increase in your GP margins. I mean, a 0.5%, but I mean, not to be sniffed at, moving in the right way. You're managing what you can manage. You and your team can't grow in an economy, but you can manage a company.
Well, that was maybe the only thing that, you know, if you said to me, what's the upsetting thing for you in these numbers? I think we really did so much well, but it would just be nice to see like a much better revenue number. And, you know, flowing right through to the bottom. We've done all the hard steps. We're looking after inventories. We're looking after debtors. We're looking after customer service. We really, really are trying to do all the important things. But it would be nice to see a bit of like tailwind where the economy is just growing and we're able to achieve decent top line growth.
You mentioned inventories there. How's logistics? I mean, beyond the logistical problems of the pandemic, but when I chat to logistic experts, I mean, we've got port challenges locally, but there's challenges in the Red Sea. There seems to still be global logistics, perhaps not as smooth as they were pre-pandemic.
No, they definitely aren't. And you've seen in the last few weeks, massive price increases in container costs again, almost to COVID levels, surprisingly. Like it's really, really gone up rapidly. And then generally, we found our logistics been okay. Where we have battled, though, is in the big capital equipment businesses. Sometimes the factories aren't getting out orders when they anticipate, and then you'd end up getting a whole bunch of orders that were meant to take place over 6 months in 1 month. And in fact, this happened to us just before our reporting. But the products are good, the price points are good, and we should have it all sold by August.
A last question. You know, I've chatted many times over the years. You've been doing smaller bolt-on acquisitions over the period. You're still doing some small acquisitions. I imagine you're still looking. I remember the ones you said that you were getting tons of them across your desk, but you weren't finding the right ones. One is picky what one buys, but there's still opportunity out there.
Yeah, actually interesting. In the business sectors that we play, typically we end up buying from a retiree. And you get that option once. So that person decides either to give the business to the kids if they're interested or to sell it. And if you miss it, you'll wait for the next generation. So when the right thing comes across our desk, we have to grab it there and then. And that's most likely the type of business that we buy in Victor.
That's fascinating. But I take your point. It's the retiree. And if the kids don't want it, this is your chance and perhaps your only chance. Stephen Joffe, CEO at Victor, always appreciate the insights.
Your money can do more when it's investing with conviction. Our partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management gives you access to in-depth, broad market research and high-return investment strategies. So invest in a select set of companies with long-term structural growth potential with StanLib's Global Growth Fund. Seek more returns at stanlib.com/more. StanLib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
Sitting now with George Colby, Head of Life Insurance Marketing at Momentum Life. George, appreciate the early morning. Your 2023 claim statistics are out, a total of $6.5 billion in claims paid out. You mentioned in the note, tracking as expected. As I understand that, it means fair to say the pandemic is out of the numbers and we are back to sort of normal mortality expectations.
Simon, yes, that's correct. So for us, that was as typical a year as you would expect to see. We actually had no COVID claims for last year, so no death claims. And that was a positive for us, obviously. And we are now more aligned with our underlying expectations in terms of what we expect to see from claims in any given year.
What are our top causes of death? I mean, I imagine it's an older population, and it's going to be things such as the, I mean, I almost want to call them lifestyle diseases. I'm not sure if that's a fair comment. Your sort of cardiovascular cancers and the like.
Simon, spot on. Yes, so that was actually our experience. We saw what we normally expect to see. So more people dying in older ages, fewer unnatural sort of claims. Really the expected causes, not by the way that one should really accept them as the natural causes. You know, so you are right. Many of them are lifestyle related, and one could possibly do more to just have fewer of those, I guess, coming through. I mean, after all of us have to die of something, but not unexpectedly and not too early.
Yeah, not unexpectedly and to your point, as late as possible, I think, is the ideal for many. And I imagine there we're sort of back to the gender split again, which is a lower age of passing for men and older for women, which is typical the world over.
Simon, yes, that's correct. And interestingly enough, so for last year, we saw quite a bit more deaths from males than from females, which was odd because in terms of our book exposure, we have roughly similar levels of exposure to males and females. But as you mentioned, you know, so men tend to die at younger ages than women. So I guess it's just a natural follow through from that.
And the leading cause of unnatural deaths amongst the younger, sort of under 30, motor vehicle accidents, which is just absolutely tragic. I mean, that is something which is completely unavoidable. But we've all driven on our roads in South Africa, and we kind of can almost understand how it happens.
Simon, yes, unfortunately, you know, motor vehicle accidents, it's typically the leading cause of unnatural deaths, irrespective of the age group, but it's more pronounced in the younger group because fortunately we also see fewer deaths in the younger age group. Ah, okay. So when the motor vehicle accidents do come through, it does tend to stand out quite a bit on that. I mean, really, you don't expect natural causes of death in younger people. So, you know, the heart attacks, the cancers. So that's more something that sort of develops with age, I think, and lifestyle.
And to your point that you made a moment ago, we're all going to pass away. That is a given. That and taxes is the cliche. But you're finding a significant number of clients who are passing due to critical illnesses are not having critical illness cover. And I mean, there's critical illness cover, of course. There's just straight good old-fashioned death cover. It's not something we like to think about. It's not an expense we like to pay. But it can have fundamental implications for end-stage life.
Simon, yes, you are right. So the unfortunate view that we got from last year's claim statistics was that around about 57% of our death claims were a result of critical illnesses like cancers, cardiovascular diseases. And in our experience from last year, 80% of those clients had no critical illness cover in place. So we think that's maybe an underserved portion of the market. I think clients really should pay more attention to getting their cover in place. And we're not saying that those clients would not have died, but we are of the firm opinion that if they had that cover in place and if they had the funds available when those conditions were diagnosed or when they experienced them, that they might have had a better chance for treatment, maybe prolonging life.
Yeah, and also but just potentially a better quality in end stage as well, which I think is hugely important. A last question, and you make the point that you made your largest ever death claim, $117.2 million to a particular business owner. The details aren't the important part. I suppose the important part is that I think a lot of folks think, well, rich people don't necessarily have cover. Not the case. 117.2 is a giant number that was paid out.
Simon, yes, that is a really big number. The important thing for us, by the way, is based on that number, it's, you know, we tend to get stuck in a number, but really, the thing to keep in mind there, this was a business owner who was responsible enough to put a cover in place. So when he passed, and unfortunate as that was, his business could continue. His employees still had jobs. His business still survived. And I think that is the really sort of amazing thing that one could pull off if you have proper, comprehensive financial planning in place. And if you have enough cover in place, it just gives everyone else a better chance. And it really leaves a legacy that you would want to leave.
Yeah, that's a great point. It's the financial planning. It's that estate planning. It is so hugely important. We'll leave it there. George Colby, Head of Life Insurance Marketing at Momentum Life. Appreciate the early morning. That's it for today. We're chatting with Nick Kunze, Sanlam Private Wealth, yesterday around Coronation winning their Concord case against SARS. We asked you if this made the stock more attractive. Half said absolutely yes. A third said no real change. The rest said sure, but still not buying. Have your vote, have your say, LinkedIn and Twitter. The show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. We're live every weekday morning, the MoneyWeb website and the app, 6:30 a.m. podcast just after 7. Thanks to my team, Eddie, Nobokle, Nicole, to you for listening, my guests for their time. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again tomorrow. Residential rental vacancies at historic lows.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.